Today on Seculo, tens of thousands march for Israel in D.C. We have a live report from Tulsi Gabbard.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome to Seculo. We have got a packed show for you today, but that doesn't mean we won't be taking your phone calls as well. So get them in now, 1-800-684-3110. You know that March for Israel about to start in Washington, D.C. We're going to have a live report. Tulsi Gabbard is participating in the march. We have Speaker Johnson's going to be participating in the march. Hakeem Jeffries, so you're getting bipartisan members of Congress, Senator Schumer, participating in the march against anti-Semitism in support of Israel and those hostages held by Hamas. We have heard a report this morning that Hamas has killed an Israeli hostage. It was a soldier, I think a 19-year-old woman, a soldier in the IDF who was held hostage, who was killed by Hamas. And that is, again, being reported in Middle Eastern news now. So what will that mean for other Israeli hostages? So Tulsi Gabbard, next segment, is going to join us live from the march. My dad will be joining us as well. After that, we've got Mike Pompeo joining us about the more than 400 U.S. officials who have signed letters protesting Joe Biden's Israel policy. That number continues to grow. You know, it was like at 100. Now it's at 400. Now you start adding up all the numbers. Are we at like 1,500, Will? Yeah, 1,500. Of course, they're all anonymous. Just like the protesters who support the Palestinians wearing their keffiyehs around their face so you can't identify them. Same with the State Department. They sign these letters not by their name, but anonymously that they want, they believe that Joe Biden is promoting Israeli mis- and disinformation. So now that's coming back to haunt even a Democrat president who stands with Israel. So we'll be talking to Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State, about that in a State Department memo that is blasting Joe Biden and the U.S. policy on the Israel-Hamas war. But that's not it. In the second half hour, Rick Rennell is joining us. He is going to talk about, you won't believe this, at a time when the State Department's blasting Biden, he's considering sending $10 billion to Iran that they would unfreeze from an account in Iraq. But we would have to make that decision to send that $10 billion to Iran after we know they were part of the planning, of course, because they run these proxy groups like Hamas, Islamic Jihad, Hezbollah, and you see that the Houthi rebels as well, that we would, not just the $6 billion, but now an additional $10 billion for Iran. And they are actually thinking about doing this at a time when we should not even be considering sending another dime to the Ayatollah and the Islamic Republic of Iran. And after Rick joins us, we've got more. Senator Ted Cruz, he's got a new book out about Unwoke, How to Defeat Cultural Marxism in America. I mean, you're seeing it on the streets in the universities with these pro-Palestinian protests as we speak. I can't think of a better time for this book to come out. So we have a packed show. Tulsi Gabbard, Mike Pompeo, Rick Rennell, Ted Cruz. My dad will be joining us. We want to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. And don't forget, we are in the middle of our Faith and Freedom Drive at the ACLJ. Yesterday, we filed four major appeals to the UN demanding international action for the hostages that we currently represent. Today, our senior military and political analyst, Tulsi Gabbard, is going to be reporting live from the March for Israel in D.C. Later this week, we're representing four now. We might be representing up to 120 more Israeli hostage families. And of course, that big win at Rutgers against anti-Semitism. To meet these legal demands, we've launched our Faith and Freedom Drive. Your tax-deductible gifts will be doubled dollar for dollar through the ACLJ's Faith and Freedom Drive. Go to ACLJ.org, donate today. You can also become an ACLJ champion with a recurring monthly donation. Those are so important. We'll be right back. In a move that is finally a positive sense, we are seeing tens of thousands of Americans join together in Washington, D.C., standing with Israel, standing for those hostages, standing for, again, the Jewish state of Israel, standing against Hamas terrorism. And it's bipartisan. We're going to hear from Speaker Johnson, the Democrat leader Jeffries, Chuck Schumer. There's Republicans, there's Democrats joining the stage. And Tulsi Gabbard is joining us now, our senior analyst with the ACLJ and Seculo. She's in the crowd now, wanted to be there for this event to see it for herself.
Hey, Tulsi, this is Jay. You know, we saw in France over the weekend a big turnout, a pro-Israel, pro-Jewish, I should also say, turnout in Paris, of all places. I think it was 300,000 people. What's the sense there right now? And we're certainly glad you're there. What's the sense of what's happening right now?
Hey, good morning or good afternoon now. You know, it is inspiring to see how many people are flooding into Washington, understanding the seriousness of this moment, coming from all over the country. Many Jewish people, many people who are not Jewish, but those who are coming and saying that we must stand up against anti-Semitism. We must stand up for our Jewish brothers and sisters, and we must take a strong stand against the Islamist terrorists who seek to not only exterminate the Jewish people, but who seek to exterminate and kill anyone who does not adhere to their radical interpretation of Islam.
You know, Tulsi, one of the things we've seen throughout the country, it's been college campuses in large cities, is these massive protests organized by pro-Palestinian groups, a lot of young people, a lot of people with covered faces. I wanted to ask you this. Are there many people at that rally who feel like they need to cover their face to be at this rally? Because I would feel like they are proud to be there, and they're not afraid of being identified like so many of these pro-Palestinian protesters we're seeing across the country who don't want their face to be seen by the cameras.
I'm walking by hundreds of people here right now as we speak, and I have yet to see a single person with their face covered or a single person feeling like they have to walk in shame. People are here waving American flags. They're waving the flag of Israel. People are standing up for peace, for security, for freedom. I think it's also important to note that those who claim to be pro-Palestinian should also be standing up against the Islamist terrorist group Hamas, who are also persecuting and killing the civilians in Palestine. The fact that they aren't really reveals that they are Islamist apologists and where their allegiance really lies.
You know, Tulsi, the report is this morning coming out of Israel. I got this late last night, early this morning, that the first hostage is in fact been killed. This is happened to be a 19-year-old in the military. She was a 19-year-old reservist who was called up, was taken a hostage, and of course Hamas is immediately saying, well, that was because of a rocket that was, launched by Israel into wherever they were. There's no verification of the type of incident that caused this. But the clear, we represent four hostage families, likely to be 120 by Sunday. Our affiliates in Jerusalem are meeting with, I think, 120 family members on this Sunday. But you've been in the military. You are in the military. You've served in Congress. I have never seen a level of anti-Semitism in my lifetime as we're seeing right now.
It is disturbing beyond belief that is the fact, and it's happening both here across America, but it's happening around the world, that the call to action that Hamas issued to Islamists around the world is actually being adhered to, and these anti-Semitic attacks are continuing to escalate. It is very telling and bothers me tremendously that here we are in Washington, D.C. You have people who've traveled from all over the country to be here today to take this important stand. And yet we'll be walking by the White House here in a few moments, and President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris have chosen not to show up, not to participate, not to send a message to the country and the world that they will stand strong against anti-Semitism, that they will stand strong for the Jewish people and the security of the state of Israel, but for peace and security and freedom everywhere. It is essential to take that stand, and by doing so, to take a stand against these Islamist terrorists who both in the short term and long term are the greatest threat to that peace, security, and freedom. I think every American should take note of the fact that the administration, the Biden-Harris administration, is a total no-show on this very historic, monumentous day.
Yeah, I mean, we're hearing from some House and Senate Democrats joining. We've not heard from any executive branch members joining
the
rally so far.
Let everybody know is actually in the march.
Yeah, that's why you're hearing the background noise. And it's, again, if you see it, it is an impressive number going down the National Mall, especially after we've seen these massive pro-Palestinian protests. That I think, Tulsi, what is good news out of this is that when Americans came together and saw this and they said, you know what, let's organize something in Washington, D.C. for Israel. And there were people that were concerned, will people show up? Are they going to be scared about these Palestinians maybe even attacking the group? Is it safe to be there? And you know what we're seeing today, and we're hearing it in the background from where you are today in Washington, D.C. People, whether they were Jewish, whether they support Israel, whether they support the Jewish people and the state of Israel, they showed up. They are not afraid of speaking out and showing their support for the state of Israel, even after we've seen some of this violence in the United States and these massive pro-Hamas rallies all over the country.
That's right. You know, I was in New York City over the weekend, and some friends of mine were in a van going through Midtown Manhattan when they got caught in a flash mob of people who claimed to be pro-Palestinian protesters, who immediately went and attacked the van, slashed the tires, broke the windows, started rocking the van back and forth, yelling out threats to my friends who were inside the van, exacting this kind of mob mentality and threats that they are doing all over the world. These are not things that should be happening in America. And I think the fact that they are, and the fact that we're seeing thousands of people show up here in Washington, D.C. today on the streets, people of all ages, all backgrounds, all different religions and ethnicities, recognizing that with all of the anti-Semitism in the world, now is the time to stand up and to do our part, all of us as individuals, because if we do nothing, if we stand by and allow this to continue, today these threats are being made by Islamist terrorists against the Jewish people. Tomorrow it will be the Hindus. Tomorrow we've seen already their focus and targeting of Christian people,
yes,
who, and anyone who does not adhere to their Islam radical interpretation of Islam, including Muslims, by the way, they will too be targeted. They are being targeted.
You know, and Jordan mentioned this in the first segment of the program, there's a $10 billion fund that is held in Iraq right now that the Biden administration is thinking about releasing to Iran. And this comes while the Iranians are attacking Americans. They're so out of touch with the reality of where we are in this conflict, which can quickly escalate into not only a regional conflict, but a global conflict. So we've got to be very careful here. Tulsi, last thing here before we have to go. And that is this. I appreciate you being there. I appreciate the stand you're taking for Israel and for the Jewish people. I know it comes from your heart. But I also think, you know, you're one who's serving our country in the military now. People need to understand that what's going on in Israel militarily, these are complex operations. People are saying, why isn't it done? Why isn't it done quicker? These are really complex operations that are going on right now.
They are. And war is the ugliest thing for everybody involved. It's important to take a step back in this moment to really recognize what is at stake here and the methods that are being used, the tactics that are being used by the Hamas terrorists against their own people in order to win the propaganda war. We've got to look beyond what is happening on the surface to recognize the very real threat that we face.
Tulsi, we appreciate it. Appreciate you being part of our team. Thank you for that update, folks. This is gives you kind of the scope and nature of the team of the ACLJ that God has allowed us to assemble. You got a former member of the United States Congress, Democrat, who serves in the military and is brilliant and is part of our team here at the ACLJ.
Yeah, and coming up next, we've got Mike Pompeo, and then after the break, Rick Rennell, and then Senator Ted Cruz today, all on the broadcast today. Again,
None of this happens without the support of our ACLJ members. I've got to say this, you know, to our friends that are joining with us in our Faith and Freedom Drive, thank you. We've had a great response here about halfway through the month. The other thing that's so encouraging about this Faith and Freedom Drive, not only is your dollar for dollar match, is that a number of you, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 a day, are signing up to become ACLJ champions, which means you're going to give a gift each and every month. We are already seeing, just from last month, the dramatic impact that that has on the ACLJ finances, which just allows us to have people on our team like Tulsi Gabbard, like Mike Pompeo, like Rick Grinnell, and others that we want to add. We could not do it without you. So first, thank you. And also, I encourage you to support that today. Go to ACLJ.org/faith and freedom. Your donations will be doubled. And if you can do that monthly, you become an ACLJ champion. It makes all the difference in the world. Back with more in a moment.
Back to Seculo. You know, we've been joined by Tulsi Gabbard. We are going to be joined by Rick Grinnell and Senator Ted Cruz. And right now we are joined by former Secretary of State, former CIA Director, and a senior counsel with the ACLJ on Global Affairs, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. So for this day, when so much is happening in our country and across the world when it comes to Israel, to put all these guests together, all these team members of the ACLJ together is great.
Yeah, Mike, you know, it's interesting to me is that you served as a member of Congress, you served as the director of the CIA, you served as the Secretary of State. Now we know that more than 1,500 anonymous federal employees, and they're going by anonymous, have signed letters condemning President Biden's support for Israel. Is the administration, the executive branch, losing control of its own operations?
Boy, Jay, it's really something, I must say. Having run the State Department and watched many, many times when the State Department was unhappy with what we were doing, what President Trump was doing, to see this many folks attack this administration from the left, I think tells you there's something just fundamentally amiss about who these folks think they are and who they think they work for, right? I think they fundamentally misunderstand that they are employees that are supposed to be working for the duly elected president, and to sign a letter, even if you weren't brave enough to put your name to it, I think it truly tells you the challenges we have inside of all of our bureaucracies, most especially inside the State Department.
You know, Secretary Pompeo, you know, we see it from the inside. I know you faced it from the inside, but I would think that these Democrat presidents like Biden, And even some of his top advisors, they aren't used to this like we are as Republicans. When you have, 1,500 of your top bureaucrats, of course, they won't name themselves. They're kind of like the protesters for the Palestinians, covering their faces with their keffiyehs. They don't want to, they all sign this anonymously. But this is something new for them. It's something we're used to as Republicans, but kind of new for President Biden. What I'm nervous about is they are so beholden to that bureaucracy that is so important to them in carrying out their mission, because they're usually in lockstep, that they could have a lot more influence on a Biden administration than they could an administration like the one you served in.
Jordan, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Secretary Blinken, his deputy, they will be much more inclined to respond and to shape their policy in direct response to these outlier, hardcore, progressive leftists who've now signed this letter that don't like an administration's policy that, frankly, has gone out of its way to try and put enormous pressure on Israel to not do what it needs to do. It's really quite something. No, they are not used to it. They are not familiar with it. By the way, my guess is many of the senior political leaders in the Biden administration are sympathetic to what these folks are protesting. So it's not just these are the folks who voice themselves. This is deeper. It is broader. And I do worry that that will begin to shape a political narrative which will force President Biden to do something that would be deeply, deeply against America's interests and will give life and spark to the Iranian regime and to Hamas.
When you have a situation like this, though, Mr. Secretary, where you've got these staff members speaking out like this, the State Department having, quote, listening sessions, which may be government speak for, we'll let you kind of air your grievances, it so fundamentally undercuts the president's role there as commander in chief. To me, it's unthinkable, and especially in a situation like this. But maybe this was the norm, and I just didn't know how it works within the State Department. It's one agency I have not served in. So what is your sense of that, these listening sessions and this molding of anonymous letters coming forward?
A couple things. First, look, every organization has people who have different views. That all does seem fine to me. That's untroubling. But when the leadership sets the march, everyone's got to respond. I'm worried that they're having these listening sessions, not for the purpose of making sure they understand what these folks think. They know exactly what these people think. I think it's because they want to listen to them and take those ideas on board, and it will change the way they actually act. And Jay, you hit the other good point. So these people are not used to this kind of pushback from the administrative state. I'm pretty confident that these won't just be words on paper, but that today, U.S. policy, its execution on the ground, is impacted by these people who are responsible for execution on the ground. That is, I don't think they'll hold these people accountable if they behave in ways that are inconsistent with President Biden's own policy. Goodness knows what they're telling people around the world, where various embassies that these 1,500 folks may be at. And, you know, my last thought is, you know, I vaguely remember when Governor Christie had a bunch of teachers speak to him at a rally, and he just said, you know, people all seem unhappy. Maybe you should just leave. Seems to me these people are awful unhappy with a president that is clearly aligned with them ideologically. Sounds like their time at the State Department ought to be over before too long.
I agree 100%. Let me ask you another question. Last week, we had a group of hostage families, first-line families. These are brothers, mothers of hostages in our offices watching a number of meetings on Capitol Hill. You spent a good deal of time with them in our office. Give me your assessment. We know that Qatar is working on this. We know that there's a lot of issues going on. What was your sense of that, and what do you think the next steps forward are there?
Well, it was wonderful to be with them. And frankly, I think for those families, great to hear from you and the ACLJ and the remarkable work that you all are doing on this very issue. There's lots of conversations. I've seen reporting that President Biden actually thinks there may be an arrangement. We might get back some significant number of these hostages, assuming the terms are okay, and it's not going to require Israel to take an awful lot of risk. That'd be a fantastic thing. I'm hopeful that not only Qataris, but others who have the ability to reach into Hamas and talk to them about the risks and what's going to happen to them if they don't give these hostages back. I hope the whole world will come to see that this is indecent. These aren't combatants for the most part. These are non-combatants, women, children, grandmothers. To hold these folks is not only a violation of basic human decency, but it is something that the world will remember for an awfully long time. And I pray that these folks get back home to their families. It was truly humbling to be with them for a time alongside of you, Jay. And I pray for them and their family members that are being held today.
You know, Secretary of State Pompeo, just one more question. We saw today a report an IDF soldier, I think she was 19, was taken hostage or taken as a prisoner of war by Hamas, and she has been executed. So whether she was taken as a hostage or a prisoner of war, there again, we have Hamas violating international law where you can be prosecuted. If she's a prisoner of war, she cannot be executed. And so by doing that alone, Hamas is kind of building up a record of international crimes.
No, I completely agree. And I will say, even those who have not been as sympathetic to the need for what Israel needs to do have begun to call out Hamas for those kinds of things. No, that is unacceptable to all of us. You know, we also remember this. These are folks who wantonly killed innocent civilians. And if you watch those videos, you can see that this execution is in line with who they are. They are soulless. They are barbaric. They are so deeply indecent that the responsibility to ensure that they not only never threaten Israel again, but that the Iranian regime can't use its proxies to harm people all across the world is necessary, and we should do it in whatever time it takes to be done completely and thoroughly.
Mr. Secretary, we appreciate you being with us. Thank you for your insight. Thank you for meeting with those families and working on their behalf, and also thank you for being part of our team. Folks, we're taking a break. The second half hour is coming up. We got a lot more ahead, including Rick Grenell and Ted Cruz. So a lot more ahead. Support the work of the ACLJ, folks. Jordan's going to let you know how to do it. Really important that we hear from you.
Those two things. One, we've got our Faith and Freedom Drive, and I've told you all the different work we're doing this month. But let me encourage you to do this. If you're in a financial position where you can become an ACLJ champion this month, one, that donation will be part of the Faith and Freedom Drive, so it will be matched dollar for dollar, but you'll be becoming a recurring donor, an ACLJ champion. So pick an amount that you're comfortable with donating automatically to the ACLJ each month. That is so critical to our work. Go to aclj.org, become a champion today.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
This is why I love our broadcast and the team that we've been assembling for you over the last few years, really since the Trump administration and getting involved in that impeachment trial, and then kind of using those contacts to take the ACLJ to the next level. That means even when we need to do bipartisan work. So on today's broadcast, if you didn't get the first half hour, we weren't on Rumble for a lot of that. So if you watch on Rumble, definitely check out the show later today, because you would have missed it that Tulsi Gabbard on her own decided she was going to go and attend that rally in Washington, D.C. She doesn't have a speaking role. She just wanted to be there in support of the Jewish people who are taking a stand in Washington, D.C. I think some of our team members of the ACLJ are participating in that rally. They usually end right around, not very far away from our office. I know that we have been working with those rally organizers well to make sure they had what they need as well. So we had her reporting live from the rally. And Dad, I was nervous. I was nervous, not because I know that the majority of Americans still stand with Israel and that they still stand with the Jewish people. And that's wonderful. But they do know that the side who doesn't is very vocal and sometimes extremely violent. And yet we've seen in France, and now we've also seen in the United States, this overwhelming support of people who aren't afraid to show their face, like the pro-Palestinian protesters, to stand with Israel. And when you see the pro-Palestinian protesters, they've all got their faces wrapped up. Why? Deep down, they're embarrassed. They're embarrassed because they know they're supporting putting babies in ovens. That's what they're flying a flag for. So even them, in the back of their mind, as evil as they get, they've still got this conscience showing, I don't want people to see my face.
Yeah,
because this may hurt me long term. But these people at the rally today with Tulsi, they're not covered up.
No, they're holding Jewish flags.
They're proud.
The Star of David, the flag
France
for Israel.
Well.
I got to tell you something.
I give it to France, too, because Macron has not been great.
Nope, 300,000 people.
The people of France, which is, did you know the largest Jewish population in Europe is France?
Yes. And because a lot of it, after World War II, a lot of them went to France. 300,000 people show up in Paris. Now, a million show up in London against them.
Yeah.
Because they've had a huge migration of Muslim that have moved to
France.
France has too, but the people came out to support the work. Can I share this, Jordan, for a moment here?
Yep.
You know, we were in Washington last week with these families, and we're representing a number of them right now. In fact, I'm holding my hand. CeCe Heil just gave me the, we already got the response. We filed four at the United Nations. So the United Nations Human Rights Office of the High Commissioner, the Secretariat for the Working Group on Enforced or Involuntary Disappearances, says they have received our communique, and they are now determining jurisdiction. So that's the first phase of this. We have four. We expect that to go to, we were on a call this morning with Caleb Myers. We expect that to go to as high as 120, which would be basically all of the civilian Israelis. Would not include the military. That's handled differently, that are captive, and there's about 60 of those. It would not include dual citizens. The point of this is, that was 1 week. Now we've engaged our office in Strasbourg, and we've also worked with a lawyer that we're very close with that is affiliated with us in Paris. And we are going to be working in Brussels, and then probably Strasbourg as well.
We've been working with for years, and we were never really sure what we could do together. Remember, they're out of Finland, and Thomas Sandoval, every time we could, we'd have dinner, we'd talk, we'd say, at some point
we need to
in
do
history,
something together.
We're going to have to work together. There's going to be some moment.
And this
and
is
it's like
moment.
The moment came. And it was like, you know, I remember the email I got from him the first time. And I was like, Finland, Jewish, I'm not thinking, but let's do it. Let's have this meeting. I remember we were in Amsterdam once. He came over for me. And now it all kind of makes sense. Even one of my fraternity brothers, who ends up being a House Democrat, who's a Jewish and able to put together that group, knowing that it was a group with the Seculos.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, these are good people. They're my friends. I've known them my whole life. Come to the meeting. And they did.
And Dan Goldman was there. And Dan was the Senate manager, lawyer for the Senate impeachment managers.
Jamie Raskin for the second impeachment, who led it.
Came. Yeah. Yeah. Jamie Raskin came.
And you know
too,
how it ended? All of us hugging and in tears.
Yeah, including Debbie Wasserman Schultz, in a very moving moment. All this to say, your support of the ACLJ is making all this possible at ACLJ.org/faith and freedom. Let me say thank you again. But now we go to the next phase of this. And the next phase of this is going to be, we've got to do this in Europe, folks. And this is going to be at a whole different, another level. We're going to be bringing over most of our D.C. government affairs staff. I'm working with James Rockus on that right now because he thinks that they could, that help is going to be needed. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
to Seculo. And again, folks, I want to put on the screen right now. Will, do we have it ready for the screen?
Let's set this up because this is what...
First, the image that was first put out today on TV, the more positive image of the IDF soldier that was up. Can we put it up now?
This is her graduation from high school, by the way.
Graduation photo.
19 years old.
19 years old. Of course, you know, you serve mandatory at least 2 years in the IDF as male or female. And she was serving during this conflict. She was taken by Hamas as a really a prisoner of war because she's a soldier.
Yeah, but they're not playing the Geneva Convention, trust me.
And then I want to show you. So look at that picture. This is the picture.
This is her picture from graduation for our radio audience. She's wearing her hood. She's wearing, you know, smiling. Now let's put up the Hamas picture.
It was just put up now.
We just got this. This is the same person.
She's dead.
Now, here's what you got to realize. This is Jordan.
And what we are told is that she was executed by Hamas.
Yeah. So let me tell you this. Okay. Well, that's what this is.
Look at the difference in
the difference. For the radio audience, let me paint this picture. There was this vibrant young woman, 19 years old.
Beautiful girl.
Who now is, and it's exactly the pictures they use with the flag behind them.
Beaten to her face.
Her face has been severely beaten. She is puffy and been obviously hurt. She's dead now. The animals, savages, demonic Hamas, keep that picture up, said that she's now dead. This was a picture that was released yesterday. Okay, she was dead probably an hour later. Hamas is saying this was, it was an Israeli bomb that got her. Total nonsense. You could tell by the photo exactly what was about to happen here. And let me tell you something. The next person that calls for a ceasefire, okay, look at her face. If you don't keep this pressure up, it's going to be one and two of these a day. That's why we're going to do everything we can and deploy all of our assets around the globe on this. This girl is 19 years old. She is dead because of these savages. I saw that video, which I'm not going to describe on this broadcast. The 45-minute video, which I wish Israel could get out. I know there's reasons not to, but it would change world opinion.
Yes,
and these morons dancing around university campuses like this is, you know, some kind of, you know, left-wing, you know, socialist baloney. You know what? The socialists in Germany came out and condemned Hamas and said Israel has the right to defend itself. So these left wings, it's out of control. This girl is dead. She's 19. And you can imagine how she died. Rick Rennell's joining us, who is Director of National Intelligence.
By the way, because of her being in uniform, she should have had all the protections of the Geneva Convention. Do you think anyone from Hamas is going to be prosecuted by the UN or the ICC for that
violation?
Well,
we're going to file complaints, but it's going to be meaningless.
Yeah.
Rick Rennell's joining us. Rick, this is going to happen, so here it is.
Look, I'm growing outraged by the day as to what's happening on our college campuses and the lack of leadership from our university presidents. I think there are some bright spots here. We have donors who have decided that they can't support some of these universities. And that is one of the only ways that we are going to be able to make change. When you freeze the money, you look at places like Harvard that has an endowment bigger than most countries' budget. It's outrageous how much money they have. And yet, you know, they keep charging students outrageous prices and they don't have a safe atmosphere for, Jewish students and for others who are trying to make it clear that Hamas is a terrorist organization. This is not about equality or some sort of moral equivalency. This is about Hamas, a terrorist organization, being condemned and not allowing people to give aid and comfort to Hamas on our college campuses. This is unacceptable.
You were the Director of National Intelligence. You served as an ambassador to Germany. You've served at the UN for a decade. I got to ask you this. I see I'm very happy to see that the response in the marches so far in Washington have been huge numbers. I mean, it looks like tens and tens of thousands of people. Tulsi Gabbard, who works with us, was in the middle of it. She called into the broadcast. This is very good because you don't know what's going to happen. I was very encouraged to see in Paris this weekend, hundreds of thousands of people came out in support of the Jewish state and to Jews. But I got to tell you something. As somebody that lost family members in the Holocaust, I never thought I'd be seeing Kristallnacht in my lifetime. I said this yesterday on the broadcast, Rick. My grandparents lived through this. They survived it. A lot of my relatives did not survive the concentration camps in Nazi Germany. So my grandparents dealt with it. Well, my great-grandparents, my grandparents have dealt with it. Then I'm now dealing with it in my 60s. My children in their 30s and 40s are dealing with it, which means my grandchildren are dealing with it. How in the world has it gotten this bad this quick?
I have to say, it's a slow boil. What has been happening on our college campuses is really atrocious. And we've seen it. We've watched it. In many ways, we are all to blame for not grabbing the college campus system and the university presidents and shaking them. You cannot have a rational discussion on our college campuses. They are filled with far left, radical, woke ideology. Conservative principles, common sense principles are completely shut down. This is a problem of the slow boil, and now it's boiled over. And we are seeing what happens, the consequences of terrible leadership on our universities. I will tell you this, you're listening to this broadcast, you need to get involved in your local public schools and even your private schools, because where your children are going to junior high and high school, the same thing is happening. And we cannot allow this to happen. We've used the term never again, but it's happening right now.
Yeah, never again is right now. And that's what Prime Minister Netanyahu said. And that's why we have to all stand. Now, Rick, I have to ask you this, because we talked about the $6 billion. Now we are getting reports that the Biden administration is mulling, for the mullahs, it's kind of interesting, approval of a fresh $10 billion. For Iran that has been stuck in Iraq for electrical money. And they say, don't worry, it'll just be used for electricity. Of course, electricity is how your centrifuges work and how you can continue with your weapons programs. And it helps you, certainly. It's $10 billion. So that would be a total of $16 billion. How on earth, Rick, could a Biden administration, where we've heard very strong pro-Israel language from President Biden, but we have not, and we're seeing his underlings are trying to undermine him. And we've seen it, Todd. We've seen it over and over and over again. And when he's weak, I mean, I'm nervous that this $10 billion ends up in Iran's hands. And Hamas is right. We're going to see October 7th over and over and over again. And it's going to come to Europe and it's going to come to the United States.
Look, I believe that we're in this mess because the Biden administration started funding Iran a while ago. They started releasing the sanctions. They allowed Iran to sell oil. They've been literally getting tens of billions of dollars in oil sale. This is the funding of this war has come from Iran. The training has come from Iran, and the money has come from the release that the Biden administration gave, whether it's a credit, whether it's releasing the sanctions. And now we see that more money is going. What this means, Jordan, is that the Biden team just doesn't get it. They don't understand that funding Iran is the problem. And I have to say that we keep seeing the Biden administration trying to have a normal relationship with the radical regime in Iran. They trust Iran. It started with John Kerry, Hillary Clinton. Democrats have always believed that they can somehow talk the Iranians out of a nuclear weapon and out of having supporting radical terrorism. They can't. And I don't know how much more evidence they need, but we need to absolutely stop supporting people who support Iran. We need to be very clear about that. This radical regime is the problem, and they're funding terrorism.
Rick, we've got, we're in the middle of our Faith and Freedom Drive, and we have these ACLJ champions, which are record numbers of people supporting the work. I just said this with Mike Pompeo, who met with some of these hostage families. We're going to be heading to Brussels to negotiate there on. We could have as many as 120 of the families by Sunday that we're representing in various capacities. I think it, from you, because you've been inside government at these levels, how important it is for people to stand with us right now? This is like, with these hostages, every hour counts.
I can't believe that we're talking about American and other hostages held by a terrorist organization. We need to absolutely be helping these families. We cannot leave anyone behind. This is a crucial time to support ACLJ, because the reality is we're not getting the support from the Biden administration. Without our voice, these families are not going to be represented, and we're not going to be clear on the messaging. We need the legal help. We need the PR help. Thank God for our team at ACLJ.
Thank you, Rick.
And thank you, Rick. And I know we're going to be coming to you for days online and offline as well for your assistance and your expertise in this. And folks, I mean, think about the expertise we had today with Tulsi Gabbard, Mike Pompeo, Rick Grenell, Ted Cruz is going to be joining us. We're putting it all together from executive, legislative branch. Those have been inside. And again, we can have all of that because these are team members, because of your support, the American Center for Law and Justice, during our Faith and Freedom Drive. Every donation you make, dollar for dollar, is matched. But if you can make a recurring donation at a comfortable amount to you monthly, you become an ACLJ champion. That is huge, and it will be doubled this month. Go to aclj.org, donate today.
Very good friend of ours, has been a friend of ours for a very, very long time, and that is Texas Senator Ted Cruz, the author of a brand new fantastic book, folks. You need to get this book. It's called Unwoke, How to Defeat Cultural Marxism, America. Get it today at Amazon. That's where we're encouraging you to go to purchase the book. Senator, thanks for being with us. The timing could not be better for your book because of what's going on in the United States right now. I want to get a sense from you with the new book out. What was the main impetus for you to write the book right now?
Well, Jay, it's great to be with you. Thank you for having me. Look, the impetus was trying to explain what is happening in our country. Millions of Americans are looking with horror at how radical and extreme everything has gotten and are asking, how the heck did this happen? And what I try to do in this book is explain what happened, and in particular, how the radical left seized control of all the major institutions in our nation. And so each chapter of the book focuses on a different institution. The book starts with universities, and I refer to universities as the Wuhan lab of the woke virus. Yep. It's where the virus was created, it's where it mutated, and it's where it spread. From universities, the book goes on to address K through 12 education, and then journalism, and then government, and then big business, and then big tech, and then entertainment, Hollywood, TV, movie, sports, music, and then science, the politicization of science. And the final chapter in the book is on China, and it explains how China is a nexus intertwined with all of it. And what the book endeavors to do is, number one, explain how and why the left managed to take these institutions over from inside, from within. But secondly, and even more importantly, the book lays out a clear, concrete plan for how we take the institutions back. Because, Jay, I think if we don't take these institutions back, we will lose our nation.
You know, Ted, you see the situation right now on the college campuses with these rallies for Hamas and the social justice for Palestine. And you got these, you know, left-wing student groups that are protesting with Hamas, not understanding that the first groups they throw off a building in Gaza would be these left-wing student groups.
Yeah.
And this is, so when you talk about the colleges, and it's these professors that are doing this, and these college presidents have zero backbone to stand up against it. It's outrageous.
Yeah, Jay, you're exactly right. You see online pictures of students holding signs with something like Queers for Palestine. They murder homosexuals. That's right. Their policies that the woke left supports. But look, what this book, Unwoke, explains is it helps people understand why this is happening, these rabidly anti-Semitic protests at college campuses all across the country. This book explains the origins of all of this. Karl Marx, when he created Marxism in the Communist Manifesto, he laid out a worldview that the world is inevitably in conflict, and it's a conflict between oppressors and victims. And Marx saw it in socioeconomic terms. So the oppressors were the owners of capital, the victims were the proletariat, the working men and women. And the solution that Marx advocated for was the violent revolution of the proletariat to overthrow the oppressors and use government power to forcibly redistribute wealth from the oppressors to the victims. What I describe in the book is how, starting in the 1960s and 70s, Marxists began infiltrating the universities, becoming tenured professors and administrators. And once there, Marxism began mutating. So one of the first mutations was critical race theory, where they took the same Marxist frame of oppressor and victim, but rather than looking at it on a socioeconomic spectrum, they looked on it based on race. And again, the solution was the same, the violent overthrow of the races they deemed the victim races to forcibly overthrow the races they deemed the oppressor races and using government power to effectuate that. From there, it transmogrified to gender and sexual orientation and gender identity. And if you look at these anti-Semitic protests on college campuses today, cultural Marxism explains why it's happening, because to the radical left, they have coded Jews as oppressors.
Yep.
And they have coded Palestinians as victims. And so accordingly, the cultural Marxists support the violent revolution of the so-called victims overthrowing the oppressors. And it's why you see so many campus leftists celebrating the atrocities of the Hamas terrorists.
The book is Unwoke, How to Defeat Cultural Marxism in America. You can get it today by Senator Ted Cruz at Amazon. It's doing great there. And I encourage you, because Senator, you talk about K through 12, and I've got students and my kids are in that grade. And, you know, luckily and thankfully we're blessed. We're able to send them to schools where we know what the curriculum is like. But most parents in America are not in that situation, and they don't. And these school districts don't even want to tell parents, as we learned under COVID, what they're teaching their kids. But now we see the Biden administration actually taking backlash from its own State Department because of its support. I mean, I never thought I'd be sending out a message in support of President Biden standing with Israel because of how many of his State Department and USAID employees are trying to get him to change his position and calling him a speaker of disinformation.
Well, listen, there's an irony to this, because since the beginning of this war in Israel, the Biden administration has systematically undermined the government of Israel. As the October 7th attack was unfolding, and it was the single worst single day massacre of Jews since the Holocaust. In the hours it was unfolding, at 3 a.m, the U.S. State Department sent out a tweet urging the Israelis, do not respond, do not have military retaliation. Violence solves nothing. That's what they did while over 1,000 Israeli civilians were being murdered, while women and children were being raped, while infants were being slaughtered. My team and I, we saw that tweet at 3 a.m. We responded immediately, said, this is disgraceful. Every person who authored it or signed off on it should be fired. They deleted the tweet within minutes. The next day, Tony Blinken, the Secretary of State, did the same thing. He sent out another tweet, said he just talked with a Turkish foreign minister. They agreed that Israel must have an immediate ceasefire. What they were saying was, Israel, do not attack Hamas. Do not try to kill the terrorists. Again, I blasted that online. Again, the State Department deleted the tweet within minutes. Then you had Biden fly to Israel. What did he do in Israel? Ask the government of Israel to have a ceasefire, to have a, quote, humanitarian pause. Tony Blinken flew to Israel and said, have a humanitarian pause. Listen, Jordan, it's real simple. The Biden administration wants Israel not to kill the terrorists. I think Israel is exactly right to be working to utterly destroy Hamas. And yet, even though the Biden White House is undermining Israel at every step, for the radical leftists in this administration, for the cultural Marxists, it's not enough. They still are accusing Biden of being a radical Zionist, which for a leftist is the nastiest insult they can give. And by the way, what they mean by Zionist is you believe the state of Israel should exist. That to them is unimaginable.
Thank you, Senator Cruz. And we're encouraging everybody to get the book Unwoke, How to Defeat Cultural Marxism in America. Get it today at Amazon by Senator Ted Cruz. Senator, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks so much, Senator.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Folks, that does it for the broadcast today. We want to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ as well. And this is an important time to do that. We're in our Faith and Freedom Drive. We've had a great response. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. And if you can make that a monthly gift, you become an ACLJ champion. And we are already seeing the impact of the ACLJ champion. So go to ACLJ.org/faith and freedom. And again, if you can make that monthly, that makes a huge difference. That'll do it for the broadcast today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.